Mayor Steve Fortini is joining us this morning. First off, Mr. Mayor, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Tom.
You've had a rough last couple of weeks, haven't you? A lot of math, a lot of time with the calculator.
A lot of math, a lot of calculator time. Like I said, it's been more than just a couple of weeks. It's been ongoing for several months, actually.
And really, you know, with some of the news that I've read and broadcast reports, it's actually been going on for years. It's just kind of come to a point.
Is that fair to say? Sure.
All right, now, so with the vote earlier this week, Herron will see a 27.5% property tax increase.
Yeah, and there's some misconception or misunderstanding about that, Tom, perhaps, in that the city's portion of your overall tax bill or your tax from the county is a very small portion of that tax bill. It's about averaging 14-15% per year, depending on what other entities
do. Because there are other taxing bodies, right, whether it's the airport or the library or whatever. See, I didn't realize it's not your entire tax bill that's going up 27.5%.
Absolutely not.
Only the city's portion.
Only the city's portion. And something else to keep in mind, the city's portion also includes the library. We have to include them in our tax levy for their operating funds, so that's thrown in on top of it as well. When it comes down really to the bottom line, and I really appreciate the effort from the city treasurer, Mr. Goodwin, and the city council, the finance committee, who has met pretty much nonstop for the last several months, meeting after meeting after meeting, trying to improve the situation financially overall for the city, and then the bearing that that would have on the tax levy as well.
And see, what we're talking about is your ability to take down, what was the first number, 32%?
54 initially.
54. Really?
And then we did some, you know, looking at some things. When part of that was we were doing some double accounting, if you will, for a portion of that. But we got it down to the 32% when we had our public input meeting.
And then you squeezed some more.
And why we have waited so long, we just actually filed our levy yesterday, the final day that you could with the county, is to allow enough time to make sure that, you know, we squeezed it down as small amount as we could on that. And rather than rush through and say, okay, well, 32, that's better than where we were, I said, let's keep working on this, and see other avenues of revenue that we may have and how that could be applied, and to give us the lowest possible figure.
Steve, can you give me an example of something that was cut that allowed you to get to 27.5% as opposed to a higher number?
From the 27.5%, part of the cuts was no increases, for one. But we've been successful thus far in some renegotiation of contracts with two out of our five bargaining units. And we anticipate, you know, some other activities there. We're also looking at just operating costs in general. We've eliminated some cell phone lines. We've eliminated telephone lines and so forth. A number of different things like that. We have renegotiated ongoing vendor contracts for services and what have you. So it's really a number of different things of economizing. We've gone with not filling some positions. And we've gotten about as lean as we can get at this point in time.
Right. Why did you have to do it?
Well, obviously we had more expenses than we had income. And it's interesting, you know, a lot of the focus has been on pension programs and what have you. Well, those contracts were actually negotiated, you know, quite some time back. You know, we're talking decade or more, putting us in that position. And really, with even the police contract, on the current contract, where at one time they were an 85% last year bonus bump, if you will, we've negotiated that down to 60%. And on new hires and what have you, it's down to a 0%. So there's been some things over a protracted period of time that have been there. And the interesting thing is that it's for a lot of the folks in town, it's like a new discovery. You know, like it just happened yesterday. Well, it didn't. It happened, you know, like say more than a decade ago.
And the bill's coming due.
And part of it too comes about with the state formula on how we are required to.
Now, this is interesting because, and when you say required, mandatory that you do this, police and fire. Yep. They have a separate contract. An old friend of mine, Richard, had been with the Firemen's Union, and he's a Carbondale native and been with the Carbondale Fire Department for decades before his retirement. Well, he's one of the guys that negotiated this with the state of Illinois for firemen, and that there are dramatically different rules when it comes to funding fire and police in communities as opposed to the highway department or sewer department.
Absolutely.
There is a formula and a standard, and it is mandatory that you do that, which is, I think, ironic in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, it is a bit ironic. Yes, there is a formula, and there's penalties if you do not comply. There's certain benchmark years that you have to be at a certain percent of funding, and if you're not, then the state withholds your funds and dumps it into those pension programs, and so you're left high and dry for that amount of money. So it's imperative that they be funded at the appropriate levels. And part of the issue has been in how the state derives its formula and what you should be contributing each year. They go from Rockford to Cairo and taking everything in between minus the city of Chicago and basically do an average. You know, this is what you should be doing based on the number of men that you have or women that you have in your department. So when you take a look at department-specific figures or the profile of that department, they don't take into consideration things such as that last year bump, which many departments do, different levels perhaps.
It happens all across the state. What we're talking about is prior to in that last year before someone retires, upping their salary so that their pension's higher.
That's exactly right. And part of the logic on that was because police, particularly in the police service, so many guys, after 20 years, there's a burnout factor. They want out. I mean, they've had it and so forth. And I think the original intent was to give them some bridge funds, if you will, till they hit the age where they can start drawing their Medicare and some other things like that.
Right.
So, but aside from what the reason may have been years ago on that, the fact is that how the state would figure what our fair share pension payment should be based on the number of guys was flawed in that it did not take into consideration some of those last year bumps. It did not take into consideration the age of a department. If you have a lot of senior officers, been there a long time, and so forth like that. So the FOP had an independent actuarial done on the department specific to the actual wages, retirement years, and so forth like that. And that was a vastly different number than what the state was saying, this should be your minimum contribution. But even if those numbers weren't that way, if you're making that minimum contribution based on what the state is saying that you should do, it's kind of like paying a minimum payment on a high interest credit card. You're never going to get there.
Right.
Okay. So,
and if you do, it'll be your grandkids that do.
Yeah, and so that's been a part of where it's come from. But the awareness of these contracts with the public, you know, it seems like all of a sudden, like, wow, we didn't realize this was the case. Well,
right.
Yeah, it has been for a number of years and for a variety of reasons.
And that's why we're supposed to stay involved in city government and
that's,
state government,
that's
local
exactly
government.
Right.
Right.
And we were talking about, you know, getting the number down and so forth. What's the real impact with the city's portion of the annual property tax from the county? That 14-15% in that neighborhood.
14-15% goes to it increases by 27.5%, not your entire bill.
Exactly. And what that amounts to in actual cash dollars, Tom, if you take a look at your tax bill where it has the fair market value, the top number on your bill, and you divide that by three and so forth, there's a formula to get down to what you're actually paying on your assessed values. But if you use that top number, $100,000 value home, what you're talking about, by the time it filters all the way down, it's about slightly over $10 a month increase in your property tax.
Okay.
So it's, and if you take a look at the mean cost of housing in most any community in Southern Illinois, that $100,000 in a range and above, that's not going to be the overwhelming majority by any means of your homes.
So you really felt you had to go through your due diligence here. If you were going to raise taxes on everybody, you felt it was your responsibility and the board's, city council, to make sure you've done all you could to hold down expenses.
Absolutely.
As a whole.
That was the number one priority from day one in April when I took office, or actually in May, as the actual mayor rather than just in an acting or maintenance type of role as mayor,
right.
That One of the first things we started looking at is, one, the Finance Committee meeting on a regular basis, given certain tasks, and one of them is cost reduction, because I told the council, before we even consider any kind of increases, whether it be fees, services, or taxes, that I want to make sure that we have economized any place and every place that we possibly can. In all fairness to all the taxpayers, and quite frankly, Tom, I'm a taxpayer too, and none of us like to see that. So that has been the number one goal and effort in terms of the Finance Committee and
the
council.
And we've seen other communities respond in similar ways to be able to fund the pensions for their police
and firemen
too.
Absolutely. Well, you know, other communities are, you know, going through a very similar experience. And but
well, and then the prospect of the governor saying he wants a property tax freeze.
Yep.
I mean, you had to do something, or you could have potentially really been left behind.
That's right. And so the folks, you know, a lot of the questions coming has been, well, what should we expect the next year and the next year and the next year? I believe if we continue to economize where we can, renegotiating contracts where we can, and making improvements there, that we should not experience another significant increase in property tax, you know, for quite some time.
Good. Hey, a couple of other things I want to hit you. I want to hit you with another tax question. This has been the bee in my bonnet now for probably about 5-6 weeks, because I've been watching the Amazon sales numbers, because I think they're representative of what goes on in any small community or any large community. You know, it's convenient. You push one click. You don't have a surly checkout person. You just get whatever it is that you want and deliver to your front step. But what that represents in the cumulative loss of sales tax for communities, whether it's Heron, Marion, Carbondale, Harrisburg, it does not matter. This is one of the biggest areas where I feel, to be honest with you, Steve, I have a legitimate fear about what this represents if people continue to use, and we continue to see grow the use of online shopping.
Well, it's absolutely having an impact on retail sales in all the communities you just mentioned, or throughout the state, for
right.
that matter, the country as well. And I think it's very, very important that we all strive to shop locally with our local mom-and-pop businesses or our homegrown types of businesses in our various communities, because one, for every dollar that you spend with that merchant, that dollar is going to roll over 5-7 times or more so in the community,
yep.
depending on who you read on that. So you have the flowing of cash throughout the community based on those sales with that local merchant, as compared to some of your larger corporate entities where that goes off to wherever they come from. So, and then the impact that also does have on your local sales tax. If I'm buying stuff online out of Washington State or California or New
China.
York. Yeah. Illinois may or may not realize any sales tax income from that, although we have certain guidelines and statutes that cover that, but then the accountability
can I
reporting process
there
is another
story.
There you
go. I want to tell you a story. I was talking to another mayor. You know him, but we're going to leave his name out of the story. He hasn't told me it's okay to say this story out loud. And one of his local mom-and-pop stores came to him and said, look, we're selling a lot of stuff online. We really are. How do we pay our taxes in the town that we live in? And he says, there's not a mechanism for that. This is a store that exists here in Southern Illinois that is selling product online successfully, and there's no mechanism to collect. And this is the business owner going, I want to pay my fair share. I want to make sure that I'm helping my town. He goes to the mayor and he says, you know, we don't have a mechanism for that.
Well, the closest to a mechanism is just the honesty of that merchant and what have you, and they're coming forward, and I think they should be commended, whoever they may be, for that attitude. But there is a means of doing it, but there's really no accountability or monitoring of that activity. They could not claim it, or they could claim it, just one way or the other.
Right. Not everybody's that way.
Not everybody is.
Is that way. Hey, before I let you go, 2015's been a really kind of a hard year for Illinois. Our morale has taken a beating. We've come to certain conclusions about our state that, well, you can come to a number of conclusions when you look at the number of 22,194 people left state of Illinois in 2015, and the year's not over yet. They're leaving, pension costs, not having a budget, not seeing fuel tax money. You heard the interview with Greg Smothers earlier this morning. They've gotten their fuel tax money. Good for all of us. When you take a look at this body of work, we'll call it, for lack of a better word, Illinois' current state, can only hope for a better year in 2016. Anything else, if we don't hope for 2016 being a better year, then really we might as well just give up.
Well, part of that's perception too, Tom.
Yeah.
And that I'm really pleased at the progress that Herron has made in this past year. Some business expansion, significant business expansion, if you will.
Jobs.
And it has created additional jobs. And we've actually had a few new folks move to town. You know, nothing big, major, anything, but rule number one in economic development has to be take care of who you have there now. Help them be successful. Help them grow. Help them expand. It's a lot easier than recruiting, particularly in today's climate, on that. So we've been fortunate, and we have had some success stories there in growth expansion from within our community. And there's some other stuff still on the table that's getting ready to happen. We've got a meeting second week in January with a significant little expansion of a operation there in town, and some improvements for the community in terms of how we look even, and the marketability that we have as a community, you know, seeing the activities take place and so forth like that. So I look forward to 2016 and some opportunities that we have in front of us. Now, that's one of those things too, Tom, you asked earlier about how we whittle down our costs and so forth as it relates to the levy. We did some projections on some growth numbers and things like that. We figured that into that formula too, and coming to this levy that we're now looking at.
Yeah.
And if the good Lord's willing, the creeks don't rise any further, we will see some value from that effort in working with this levy too. So we really looked at everything. But
see, in microcosm, how many times, Mayor Frattini, have I heard someone doing an interview, how many problems in the state of Illinois would be solved if we had business growth? You just in a microcosm have explained to it in one of the best ways. We include this in our formula. We have the prospect of this going, and that means if we do that, we're not going to have to raise property taxes 32% or 54%, but 27.5% if we grow.
You have to use that type of thinking. You have to use those kinds of projections, and you have to get out there and hustle and work towards making it happen.
Yeah, every day.
So, but it's I look forward to this next year. I think it's going to be a very good year for the city. We're getting our finances in order, finally. I think it's going to be a benefit to the community throughout.
You know, because I know you listen to the program pretty regular, the idea of us dog paddling from one disaster to the next for the rest of our lives, I don't find that appealing.
Well,
you know what I mean.
Puppies
too.
Don't swim well.
Yeah, you just get there and you just get your nose above water, and you think, oh, if I could just get to the next. Nobody wants their community to live that way the rest of life, or their state, or their home, or their business.
Well, part of it is that community pride, that community culture that you have. You're right. No one wants to live that way. No one wants to run their household that way. And certainly when you have a responsibility for several thousand people in a community, you want to be able to share that pride in the community and the benefits of being a part of that community with them. It's all part of the overall formula in making a better place for everyone.
And look forward to working with you again next year to make sure everybody's informed
about
this.
About it.
I learned, you know, it's interesting because you notice how people blow up, right?
Yeah,
that's what I call it, blow up. And I do it too. When I hear some bad news, suddenly my shoulders come up, my chest goes out a little bit more, and I'm going, what? Right? And that's the kind of thing that happens with property taxes, you know, when you see that, you know, but today, I mean, I've been reading about this and watching very closely. And today, I learned things that I didn't hear anywhere else.
Well, one interesting thing too, Tom, that of course, as the mayor and some of my aldermen and city treasurer for that matter, we get calls from different people about this topic. And actually, I haven't kept actual track per se, but in general, I probably have had as many or more calls, people saying, we understand, and we realize it's something that has to be done, and, you know, hang in there. Thanks for having the metal to go and do it.
Yeah. Good. So support's good. Vindication, validation, however you want to look at it. Aaron Mayer, Steve Fertini. Good 2016 to you, pal.